Dr. Rubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. This is Bob Griggs, and I'm delighted you've joined us for a few moments of Bible study around the Word of God. We're in the book of Genesis, and we're talking about why man needs new birth. We've been discussing new birth blessings. I've given you an outline, and we're going to go through that outline. We're going to enlarge on each one of those topics. And right now, we're in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, discussing why man needs salvation and new birth and deliverance from the bondage of sin. Last time, we just touched on Genesis 3 and verse 15, where God said to Adam and Eve and was speaking to the serpent, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, this is a prophecy, a glorious prophecy concerning the future and God's dealings with Satan. First of all, in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, we discover that Satan is the one that was using the serpent, and thus he is referred to as that old serpent. Let me read it to you. Revelation chapter 12, and notice with me as I get there, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now we see, beloved, how that Satan was the one that deceived Eve. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, we read these words concerning Adam and Eve, beginning with verse 13. For Adam was formed first. Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Now here we see, he makes clear that Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. That's why God tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, by one man sin entered into the world, because Adam knew that he was doing wrong. He knew that Eve had been deceived and that she had eaten of the forbidden tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and thus Adam deliberately took of that fruit. He delighted in Eve, and he took of that fruit so that he would be with her in that act of disobedience and rebellion against God. And thus we see God held him responsible for his disobedience. And there in Genesis 3:15, where the scripture says, the Lord God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, speaking of the serpent as a snake, and also as Satan, enmity between thee and the woman. Women, as a normal rule, hate snakes. They cannot stand snakes or things that are creepy crawlers. Normally, women detest them and do not want to have anything to do with them. And he said, and between thy seed and her seed. Now, woman does not have seed of her own. a man has the seed when it comes to forming a baby. It's the man's seed that is implanted into the egg that the woman has. She has the egg within her body. The man has the seed in his body. But this scripture says her seed. Now, this is something that is remarkable, because the woman doesn't have seed, but the Lord God Himself would plant the seed into the womb of Mary. Mary, who would give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ, who would take upon Himself human form in order to walk upon this earth, to go to an old rugged cross, to die for the sins of mankind, where His heel, His earthly walk in His physical body, would be bruised, would be ended, so that when He arose, He was in a glorified body. And we see that Satan thus was defeated there. His head was defeated. The power of a man is in his mind, in his head. And we see that Satan's power was taken away from him by Jesus Christ. When Christ was crucified and arose from the grave, Satan delighted when Christ was crucified, when Christ was put to death. Satan thought that he had gained a great victory, and he delighted in the death of Jesus Christ. But the scripture tells us that had he known what was transpiring and taking place, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But he did not realize that he was playing right into a part of God's plan in crucifying Jesus Christ and putting Christ to death. That was a part of God's plan. And Satan was an instrument of Almighty God in putting the Lord Jesus to death. We read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "For we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, something that's previously hidden, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew." And Satan is the prince of the power of this world system. "For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Oh, no. They would not have put the Lord Jesus to death, but they were a part of God's plan to redeem man from his sin. For 3 days later, Jesus arose from the grave, victor over death, Satan, and hell. He conquered it all and arose victor over Satan and over death. He took death away from Satan, we're told in the book of Hebrews. Jesus Christ took death away from Satan's control. Death and hell and Hades. Jesus went to Hades because Hades had a compartment in it called paradise. And paradise was moved into heaven, Revelation chapter 12 tells us. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us about the Apostle Paul going into paradise in the presence of God when he was stoned, I believe, was when that took place at Lystra. When he was stoned and drug outside the city, left for dead, I believe that was when he entered into paradise in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and told about beholding things that he couldn't relate and he couldn't tell. And there was a thorn in the flesh given to him lest he should be elevated by pride to keep him humble. And that thorn in the flesh he asked God to remove, but the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient, my strength is made perfect in your weakness." Therefore Paul said, "I will glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So, beloved, that's where the seed of the woman that was impregnated by the Holy Spirit of God, that brought, defeated Satan there on the cross, and thus we see that his power over the believer was defeated, and the believer can now walk in victory over Satan through the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, who is God's seal and guarantee that comes into the believer at salvation. As John chapter 3, verse 6 states, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And so it's the spiritual part of man that is made alive, that is given eternal life at salvation, and that is born again and becomes a new creation. It's the spiritual part of us that dies to sin and becomes alive to God, and in which the Holy Spirit of God moves to possess the believer and to be God's guarantee of our salvation. Oh, beloved, there's so much truth wrapped up here, and we will go more into detail concerning these things in the days to come. But just briefly, we're talking about this seed of the woman and the glorious deliverance that God was foretelling here in verse 15. "So unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply," this is verse 16 of Genesis 3, "greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Yes, a woman's desire is to her husband, and to allow the husband to be her security, to be her help, to be her encouragement. And it was God's plan for the husband to become the head of the woman, because someone has to take the role of leadership, and because the man was not deceived by Satan as the woman was, he made the man to be the head of the woman and to be the leader in the home. It doesn't mean the woman's not on equal ground with the man, as we'll discuss next time. Till then, goodbye.